Welcome to the Hudson Valley Disc Golf Podcast. My name is Pat Keenan. It is Wednesday, January 6th, 2021 for the Annals of History. But we're not here to talk about that. We want to talk some disc golf, and I have, for the first time ever, five friends to help me do that. So let's start with one of our returning guests from last week. She had the hot trivia score at 13. Thanks for coming back, Andy Romanski.
Thanks for having me again.
Not to get super personal, super quick, but we did talk about Josh last week. I just had a quick question. How long have you been dating Josh Pallure?
I'm not dating Josh Pallure. I'm dating Josh Isaac.
Oh, well, actually, we're lucky enough to be joined by him right now. Thanks for coming on. Josh, were your ears burning last week?
A little bit. I heard the podcast, and it was a pleasure. I was honored to be even mentioned and part of it in a multifaceted way.
Cool. Was there anything that you wanted to add or clarify about that?
Only one on a slightly childish level. It was mentioned that Prospect Park at the time was a rain course, and I considered it more of a winter course. It didn't have to be raining. Pretty much any time from November through early spring, it was playable. It could be, you know, mid to low 40s and mildly overcast, and you would have the park to yourself. But other than that, that's just me being picky.
Well, and now it's basically not really in use anymore.
And now I have no idea. Yeah, I haven't. I don't live in the city anymore. I live an hour north of in Westchester, so I haven't even been there in a few years. I used to do keep it up annually and mark the tees and the targets and make sure everything was up to date and playable and trimmed. I would do some illegal trimming at the time, but no, now I have no idea what the condition of it is. So I don't know.
Awesome.
I welcome people to still go to the website and walk their way through it and let me know. But yeah, I have no idea. In my mind, it's a thing in the past.
Awesome. Did you guys get out for a round in the last week or so?
I got out for a round on Saturday, but up until yesterday, the day before yesterday, Josh has been in quarantine. So.
Oh, yeah. How much longer?
Oh, he's done now.
Oh, done now. Oh, nice. Nice. When do you expect to play your next round, Josh?
I don't know. Probably as early as tomorrow. Nice day.
Did you get out today being clean?
No, not today.
Okay. I didn't know if you'd be in a rush to get out, just to get out because you've been kind of stuck.
I'm not much of a winter golfer. Once there's snow on the ground, I usually just kind of pack it up for the season. But it's pretty much melted. So as long as the weather's nice, yeah, I'm happy to play year round, but I'm definitely less inclined to jump on out at every opportunity once it gets cold.
Just like you, unless I'm committed to a tournament, I'm waiting for the snow to melt. Yeah. And a little 40-degree weather, I'll do,
Yeah, I'm a believer in the off-season. It's okay to take a break.
Nice. Our second place contestant with 9 points. Thanks for coming back, Mr. President Kenji Klein.
Hey, what's up? How you doing, Pat? Hello, Josh. Nice to see you. I haven't talked to you in a while. Andy, how you doing?
Yes.
Not bad.
You had first tracks this weekend. How'd that go?
It went really well. We had a bunch of people come out. We signed up a whole bunch of people for new Discap membership and tags. We kept it very socially distanced. We had separate lines. Everybody was spaced out. Even when we were sending out groups, it was like a huge dispersed crowd. So it was nice. We had, I think, 55 players total.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, 55 players. And you were there. I thought it went pretty well. It was pretty smooth. Only thing that a little bit of an issue is that there's very little cell service at J Park. So it's a little bit of a pain in the ass getting everybody set up. But I think it went off pretty well. We only had a couple cards with some issues that didn't get updated. And we had to do a little finagling at the end. But it went pretty smooth.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bummer for live scoring, but it's still probably way more convenient than sitting there with the pieces of paper,
Yes. Because it was just a couple people we had to kind of wait till they came in or caught some service or had to do a little bit of pushing the update through to get them to get their card to line up with the leaderboards. But besides that, it was pretty good. Had a couple playoffs. Nice. We sold 50 club memberships. That's wonderful.
Nice. You said there were 55. How many normally? Like, what was last year's number?
Last year we had 53. So,
okay, so it's pretty much par for the course. Okay, how'd you play?
Mediocre at best. I had a lot of fun playing with some Tim Golden, Earl Steinberg, and Gene Gerka. And I did okay. I definitely left a few strokes out there. I did miss maybe a 4 or 5 foot putt. It just rode the chains weird. It like went straight into the center and just rode the chains right out. I was like, oh, really? So no cash for me, but it was fun. It was a respectable score. I kept it under 100 on the 27 holes.
Yeah, I didn't. I hurt my back on Friday, so I was out more to have fun and to experience it. I used the excuse all day. I didn't want to leave with a really good discap tag.
I didn't have the tags done. I got to send them all out to everybody.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Well, I'll be there for the
okay. Baseball. I'll see everybody. It's just COVID, man. It's the shipping on my tag stamper that was supposed to be here like weeks and weeks ago just arrived yesterday. So tags will be coming soon.
Nice. My group, it was Brendan Joseph, Justin Matthews, and Corey Cook.
Yeah.
They were really good and really patient with me having a rough day.
Yeah, both of those guys. I don't know. Justin is somebody new I haven't quite met too much, but Corey and Brendan are wonderful. I always mess Brendan's name up because my son's name is Brandon and his name is Brendan, and I always am calling him Brandon.
No, they all played well. So, Jack, how's your foot?
That's about the same. I I didn't play around, but I got out today to sort of scope out some coursework with Bill. And I feel like I ran a marathon into a riot and then got the shit beat out of me.
All right. Well, the good news is you're at 7 points, so you're still in the trivia.
Yes.
We got a CTP final question. Anything can happen. In fact, I don't even know what the question is.
I believe that.
Because we have a special guest who was nice enough, I think, to bring with him a final question CTP. Let's meet him before we get to the question. Our final guest this week is no stranger to the podcast. He was one of the early disc golfers I asked to record when I was starting to do this, and he's always willing to help when he can. He's a member of the Wedge Board and winner of the second annual Shungum Showdown 2 Ridge Redemption in the Advanced Division. Thank you for joining us, Adam Gutman.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
What's up, Adam?
You're all doing well.
From what I can gather, you've been playing a ton recently, haven't you?
I've pretty much been playing disc golf as much as possible when not working the entire COVID year that we've had here. So, just trying to really play and step up my game as much as I can.
Where are some of the courses you've played recently?
My most recent round, I was at Sunnymead, which is in Massachusetts, kind of in the Cape area, which is a brand new private course that this guy put in on his property, and he's done a great job. It's an excellent course. It has one of the hardest holes in disc golf. It's about 300 feet dead straight down the pipe, very narrow, but a really good course. I played Warwick on New Year's Day with a bunch of other Wedge people out there, and then also played Stafford Woods right before the holidays there. So been around a bit.
Nice. So are you ready with the final question?
I am ready with the final question.
The scores, once again, team, this is Andy Josh. You guys are a team on this. You guys have 13 points, but only one answer. Kenji, you're at 9 and Jack at 7. You can wager as many points as you have or as few. You can wager 0 to whatever you got. Closest to the correct answer wins. And the winner gets to pick their dubs partner for the other questions, the other trivia later. Anybody have any questions?
We said that you are bids privately, not in the main chat.
Actually, send me a direct Facebook message with your score and your wager.
Do we want to do the wager before we know the question?
Purple.
Nah.
That's not how Final Jeopardy works.
Adam, at your leisure, sir.
All right. The question is, in centimeters, what is the average width of a disc golf disc? It does vary. So we're going for the average, what most discs are.
So we have to send you how much we're wagering?
How much you're wagering of your 13 points, and what was the question again, Adam?
It's what is the average width of a disc golf disc in centimeters?
The whole disc or the rim? Sorry.
The disc and, you know, diameter.
I wish I knew my conversion better.
Adam, are we ready with the final answer reveal?
Yes, I am. All right. The average diameter of a disc golf disc in centimeters is 21 centimeters.
Ooh, my conversion was off. What's 21 centimeters in inches?
8.26772.
I was going to say like 8.
You should have been with my instincts.
I first have to ask Jack, what is the Is the first what you have and what the second number, what you're wagering?
Yeah, score, wagering.
It's all right. Andy was kicking our asses anyways.
Kenji, you had 9 points. You wagered all 9 points?
Yes, I did.
That's true. Double jeopardy.
You were the furthest.
Ah, that's good. Because I don't know how many centimeters or inches.
So you got you got 0 points. All right.
But he doesn't lose 9 points, right?
Yo, yeah. He wagered 9 and got it. And yes, he has 0 points. So yeah. He
now has zero.
Okay.
I went for the gusto, thinking of Andrew.
Jack had 7 points and wagered 3. Is that correct?
That's correct.
His answer was 20 centimeters. What was the answer again, Adam?
21 centimeters. Very close.
So it comes down to Josh and Andy. Andy and Josh.
Jandy.
Yeah, they had 24. 24. So Jack.
How much did they wager?
Okay, so the points. He goes to 10 points. They had 13 points and they wagered 5. So your winner.
Oh,
Jack Bradley. Congratulations, Jack Bradley.
Thanks, Pat. It's great to be here. I'd like to thank my sponsor. That's Craig's Disc New York. Always use the Craig's Disc Mini to mark your lie.
Awesome.
Good job, Jack.
As the winner of trivia, you now get to pick your partner. We're going to do the round front nine in dubs.
What are my options?
Your options are Adam Gutman.
Yep.
Kenji Klein, Josh and Dean, Andy and Josh.
Jandy.
Jandy, is that what it is?
That's not what I'm picking, but that's what you should just call them for efficiency's sake. I'm taking Gutman.
All right, let's do it, man.
Okay.
I love it.
Kenji and Jandy kicking ass.
Kenji and Jandy.
All right. So, also as winners, you guys get to pick what hole would you like to start. It could be a quiz. It could just be a topic. Hole 1 through 9.
Call it, Gutman.
Let's go with hole 5 because it's my favorite hole at FDR.
All right.
Hole 5, your favorite hole, is a rules quiz. Rules quiz. Hold on for a moment while I get out my rules quiz.
We're starting fresh, right? Doubles,
yeah, this is nine holes. I didn't grab my sheet of paper, so... I just need about 2 minutes.
I was just wondering
if we're starting
fresh from 0 points or do we retain the points from last time?
Oh, no, we're starting fresh from, it's the same thing.
So what are the teams I'm caddying?
It's Jandy and Kenji.
And Kenji and Jackham. Jack.
Versus Jack and Adam.
Jackham.
Adam and Jack.
Attic.
Jadam.
Ack.
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 Mad Jack.
Do we type the answers or we're just going to say?
No, we'll just report.
You chat and then you call out a final answer.
You can back channel me, Adam, if you want to talk about anything, you know.
Who, Bradley?
Or we can just talk out loud.
Bradman Jackham. Bradman Jack.
Jack.
What? Gutley.
Are you guys coming up with team names?
Jam Gutley.
I like Ack.
Yep, I like Ack. We get buttons made up.
Ack.
All right. So our first rules quiz of the night. Do you have a team name, Jack?
Adam.
I think it's Ack.
Yeah, it's Ack.
Capital A C K.
Capital A.
And Kenji, Josh, Jandy, Kajandy,
Candy,
Jandenji.
Candy. Yeah. Jandy and Kenji.
Candy. Okay. Ack, Candy. Ack, with the first question. Question one. In what 1999 film does Lawrence Fishburne show computer hacker Keanu Reeves that the world is not what it seems? It's actually a rectangular array of quantities or expressions in rows and columns as treated as a single entity and manipulated according to particular rules.
Is it the Matrix?
Yeah, that was really complex.
I forgot what the question was there while you were reading.
Exactly.
That's
the only one of those.
I thought this was going to be a rules quiz.
Question two. This goes to Candy. According to the rules of Major League Baseball, bases may be canvas, but home plate must be made of what material?
Can you repeat that? I was laughing too hard at the
Yeah, I think it's rubber, but yeah, repeat the question.
According to the rules of Major League Baseball, bases may be canvas, but home plate must be made of what material?
I'm okay with
that. I think it's rubber. What do you guys think?
I'm okay.
Final answer?
I'm okay with that, too.
Rubber it is.
You are correct.
Way to go, Andy.
Question three. Ack. What phrase, meaning a reliable method, comes from the brewing practice of dipping in a digit to check temperature?
Wow.
Say it again.
What phrase, meaning a reliable method, comes from the brewing practice of dipping in a digit to check temperature?
I honestly have no idea. I got nothing.
A reliable method.
No.
Reliable method.
I got nothing, kid.
All right. I'm right there with you. I got nothing either.
Candy, what do you guys got?
Can you repeat the question?
What phrase, meaning a reliable method, comes from the brewing practice of dipping in a digit to check
fingering.
Temperature?
So he's looking for a phrase. You think of fingering?
It's
a phrase, so I think it'd be more than one word. What phrase? I don't know a phrase that means dipping your finger, checking the temperature. Testing the water. How about testing the water?
Do you guys want to decide on one of those?
I like dipping lick. No, I'm just kidding. We can go with testing water.
Okay, I'll take them both because they're both wrong. we're looking for rule of thumb.
Rule of thumb. Is that really? That's what that's from? I didn't know that.
That's not the digit I use.
The more you know.
No, me neither. I'm not a thumb dipper. I'm a pointer finger dipper.
The good news is the question four isn't much easier for the other team.
Good.
For Candy, this is multiple choice, though. On June 13th, 1920, the U.S. Postal Service ruled that what may no longer be sent via parcel post. Was it A, baby chicks, B, children, C, explosives, or D, raw eggs? On June 13th, 1920, the U.S. Postal Service ruled that what may no longer be sent via parcel post. A, baby chicks, B, children, C, explosives, or D, raw eggs?
I think we just got to go with the most outlandish answer and say children for some reason.
I honestly think it's baby chicks.
Oh, wow.
All right, so there's three.
You know it's going to be C, right?
What? Which one didn't we pick? That's the one that's right.
You used to be able to send baby chicks for Easter.
All right, I'm good with that.
We'll go with the lady's answer. What do we got? I'm
looking for B, children.
I thought I saw something that said that. They used to ship them like to be able to for adoptions and stuff. Type
rules. What are traffickers supposed to do?
There used to be an orphan train.
Yep. I'm pretty sure you just sew them into the lining of a suitcase.
Through four questions, it's still 1-1. And ACK gets question five. In January 1988, the Supreme Court ruled that what type of newspaper could be censored? In January 1988, the Supreme Court ruled that what type of newspaper could be censored?
Wow. These are hard ones, man.
Yeah.
Would it be like school newspapers or college newspapers?
Is that a final answer?
Oh, that was more for Jack.
We're discussing.
No. You know, you can't really be, you know, what are you going to text?
He won't give me his digits.
That's because every time I call Jack, it's a different phone number.
I got people looking for me.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. I totally get it.
I kind of like that. I don't have anything else.
Yeah. Let's go with it, Pat.
Final answer, school. You are correct.
All right.
Well done.
Question six for Candy. John Irving and Michael Caine won Oscars for what 1999 film that includes this quote? Good night, you princes of Maine, you kings of New England.
Michael Caine and who was the other person? Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, sure. John Irving and Michael Caine won Oscars for what 1999 film that includes this quote? Good night, you princes of Maine, you kings of New England.
I don't know who John Irving is. Why is that drawn
and
blank?
And Michael Caine in every movie that's ever come out, so.
Yeah.
Anything?
Come on, Andy, you're a movie person. Help us out here.
I don't know this.
I was in high school.
Total blank. Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Act. Do you have a guess?
Is it the Cider House Rules?
You are correct.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Nice pull, Jack.
But John Irving is a novelist, so.
Yeah, but he won an Oscar.
Yeah.
All right. Question seven. This goes back to Act. The Marquis of Queensberry Rules govern what sport?
The Marquis of Queensberry Rules
govern what sport?
Know that
Queensbury is that Australia?
I don't know.
Me neither.
If it is, then it's got to be something like Australian rules football. My instinct was to be something like cricket.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's something like that. Like it's a really popular sport, but not one here.
Yeah. Certainly,
the Marquis of Queensberry rules govern what sport?
I'm happier with cricket than I am with.
Yeah.
And rugby.
I got to tell you guys, when I come up with these questions, the category was rules. So I just went to my 7 to 10 years worth of trivia that I have. And I did a search for the word rules. Mm-hmm. And I just pulled the first 10 questions. So I apologize for the difficulty. Oh, I didn't really bet them that well.
I'm good with cricket. I mean, that's
all right. Me too. Yeah. Cricket, we're saying.
All right. Candy, what do you guys think? The Marquis of Queensberry? Oh,
not right. Sport.
I had the same line of thinking as Jack. I thought it was maybe cricket, rugby, or Queensberry. I think it is in Australia. But for some reason, what's that game? High Line, right? Is that the one with the big old hooks on your arm? Yeah. Kind of comes to mind. What do you guys think? Rugby? Rugby, an Australian thing? Australian rules football? Queensland? Marquis of Queensland.
All right, rugby. Let's do rugby.
Rugby? Final answer?
Rugby. Let's go rugby. Final answer.
Boxing.
Of Queens. All right, question 8. This goes to Candy. In 2004, intern Jillian Clark of the University of Illinois at Urbana in Champaign received the Ig Nobel Prize in Public Health for her work with what common food-related superstition? I'll read it again. In 2004, intern Jillian Clark of the University of Illinois at Urbana, Champaign received the Ig Nobel Prize in Public Health for her work with what common food-related superstition?
That you can't eat undercooked pork. I don't know why that comes to my head, but you can.
You can't eat undercooked pork?
Wow. Yes. Andy, Josh, what do you guys think? A food superstition.
Like, you can't eat apple seeds or I don't know, just something. He said common, so I don't know. What's common? What is
common perception?
Yeah.
There's spiders in the Hubba Bubba.
That is spider webs in the Hubba Bubba. I don't know that.
I was leaning towards the pork thing, thinking to get.
Swallow pop rocks.
Can't swallow pop rocks. That's a problem. That's a pretty good one.
You can't eat raw eggs.
You can't eat raw eggs. Well, Rocky was doing that in Rocky.
I don't think that is as much as a misconception. Okay. You see a lot of people doing that, right?
I'm gonna have to go with the lady's choice. It sounds really
cool. All right. Final answer.
Yep, go for it.
Ack, what do you got?
Damn it.
Jack, I think I know this one.
Yeah. Tell. Do tell.
I think it's the 5-second rule.
That would be wonderful.
Is that your final answer?
That's the final, yeah.
You are correct.
Oh,
fun fact, your food totally gets contaminated before 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was the final? It can be contaminated?
Oh, yeah, like
immediately, yeah.
Upon contact.
Question 9. This is for Ack. In the 1994 movie Gremlins, there are 3 rules for looking after a Mogwai. What are they?
Hope you got this one, Jack, because I got nothing.
Yeah,
I've never seen it.
You can't feed it after midnight, I believe is one. And you can't get it wet. And you can't use it as a sex toy.
Is that your final?
No. I was being facetious on the second and third one. So you can't get it wet. I think you don't feed it after midnight. Ugh. God damn it.
I wish I could even help you here, but I literally have nothing.
It's going to piss me off when I hear it.
Sex toy, I think.
Yes. That's it. Yeah, I mean, that should be in there.
Ever owned a gremlin? Don't you know this?
No. We have cats. You a gremlin for birthday. And we leave the food out all the time. It was just a total disaster. Yeah, we live near a lake, and we stay up late. Don't feed it after midnight. Don't let it eat your cats.
That's Alf.
And
put Phoebe Cates in your movie.
Don't get it wet. What could it even be? Not you, dick. All right. Think of something, Adam. Anything.
You can't look them directly in the eye.
Yeah, there you go. We'll take those 3.
All right. You will get 1 point, but the last one obviously was not correct. If Candy can, they can get a point if they can steal and tell us what the third thing is.
Isn't it? It's bright light, right? Bright light or sunlight. You can't get them in the sun, right?
never expose it to bright light, especially sunlight, which will kill it.
Yep.
You each got a point on that. And this one's also worth 2 points just because it's a tough one. This is for Candy. You can get you right back into this thing. What is the third rule of Fight Club?
There is no Fight Club.
No. The first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club. The second rule is you don't talk about Fight Club. Third rule, no socks, no shoes.
I believe no Josh. Socks,
no shirts, no shoes.
No shirts, no shoes.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
I'm pretty sure it's either that or the fourth and fifth rule, which I'm not going to say out loud in case our team wants to steal. But I'm pretty sure that's the third rule.
Final answer, go with it.
Because I know what the other two are. Well, it's either that or the fourth one. I might flip on. I guess we should go with that one.
So you're sticking?
Kenji,
you
good with it?
I don't have a clue besides that there is no Fight Club rule.
Yeah, I know all of them, but I just can't remember the order of the third or the fourth one. But I'm pretty sure it's no shirts, no shoes.
No service.
T-Mac, what do you got?
I think...
Don't drop the soap.
Yeah. I think it's the fight's over if you can get knocked out. Like, that's it. Like, once you're out, it's over. Or something
Someone
like
yells
that.
Stop, goes limp, taps out, the fight is over.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sweet.
Yeah, that's... No, you got it. I have the actual words in front of me.
Yeah, I wasn't going
to
get that.
Darn, those the other guests. And fights will go on as long as they have to. And if this is your first night at Fight Club, you have to fight.
All right. So, that was hole five. That was Candy. What hole would you guys like to play? I mean, yeah, you guys are Candy for that.
Yep.
Wherever you want to guys want to go, where do you want to play?
I'll defer to you, Kenji.
Hole seven.
Actually, Kenji, it's good that you asked. I did want to ask, at least briefly, you guys are in a situation where you're going to have two people running for the board, but there's nobody, there's two positions kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is that how that's going to go?
So we have five people on the board, and every year we serve 3-year terms, and every year one or two of us is up for election. I am up for election this year. Me and Earl and both of us committed to rerunning, and I haven't heard from anybody that wants to run against us.
And they have until like Saturday.
Sunday,
right?
Yeah. We only had one real contested election. Last year we had three people for two spots.
That's a shit situation. Yeah.
All right. No, I just wanted to ask about that. All right, Ack, what hole you want to play?
What's left?
We took out five and just seven.
Okay, I don't know. Jack, what do you got?
Let's go one. Let's take it from the top.
Why is Stony Kill Farm in Fishkill and Stony Kill Disc Golf Course, according to Google, 72 miles away in Chatham?
Chatham.
Yep.
I have no idea.
Okay.
So what did you say, Stony Kill Village or something?
No, it's a farm. It's when I was a kid, it's like a conservation farm.
I wonder if the Stony Kill flows from there all the way down. Because that's why we named it Stony Kill Disc Golf Course. The Stony Kill is across the street.
Oh, the river. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, because that creek, you know, that water runs all the way. So a lot of places got named after it. I think it goes pretty far.
Yeah. Yeah.
Follows the river, like, right, all the way down.
Thanks for breaking out that logic, fellas. I appreciate
it. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, maybe it goes all the way down to the farm.
Maybe they were stoned.
Okay. That was Aqua.
It's back to us. Josh, you get the pick.
2, 4, 6, or 9.
Who do we appreciate? Fine. 9.
9. Okay. Did I finish? Ooh, I only got 3. Okay. I got 3 scenarios. And I'll ask you one and just give me, it's what would you do? It's called. So this goes to anybody on Candy. We're playing a tag round in the snow. I've got a 15 footer for par. I push my putter into the snow and step right into the middle of the indent that I made. I then make the putt. What would you do? Would you call a penalty?
In my tag rounds? No.
Anybody who would?
Are you saying you're using it as,
as your marker? Yeah.
The same thing as I let you flip a disc. I let you, as long as you put your foot where it belongs, I don't care if you mark it or not. You know, I'm pretty casual in a tag round.
It's a trick question because I wouldn't be playing with snow on the ground.
Anybody have any differing?
Yeah, no, that's completely the disc impression is a completely legit way of marking in winter golf.
Yeah.
Yep. I would never call that.
Cool. All right. Well, Ack, here's a scenario for you. We're on the same card in a B-tier tournament. Upon making my putt, I grab my buddy's disc, not yours, that is 2 feet from the basket, and hand it to him. What would you do?
Oh, well,
Oh, yeah. No,
I'd have to call that. I wouldn't call it. Yeah. But,
I'd call it in B-tier. You know, no place else, really. But, I don't know.
That happened to me once.
Yeah, I've seen it happen. I think so. What I do is when we're adding up the score on the next tee, I think I point out that we're playing by PDGA rules today, and that means everybody has to mark their own putt and chain out themselves. So I think that's probably a teaching moment.
Yeah,
I don't think I'd wait. I don't think I'd wait. If he picked it up, I'm like, hey, bud, we're playing a tournament. I wouldn't call him on it, but I'm like, you got to let him putt from that, put that back and let him putt out.
Yeah, absolutely. I would make the person putt it.
I wouldn't make a big deal, but I would totally point it out. Like, you can't pick up. You know, he's got to putt that.
Yep.
And make the guy make the putt.
And you should really putt it anyway if that happens to you. If someone picks up your disc, I would be like, I'm putting that.
Yeah. Right. It's not the guy, whoever's disc it is, it's not his fault. It has nothing to do with him. So his lie is still his lie. And he can still make his
putt. Absolutely. That's absolutely what I would do.
Picking up the disc. I would point it out, but I wouldn't penalize him.
Yeah.
Right away.
What you don't do, though, is just walk away and expect someone to pick up your disc, because that happened to me in a B tier once. And it happened to be the dude who won. And he walked away. He parked his upshot. And he walked away, and like it was a long walk. And one of the other dudes picked up the disc and carried it back. And I didn't want to be a total dick, but I really wanted to make him go back and putt it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to go right. We got to walk back. You got to make that putt.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. You shouldn't do that. That's being a dick.
Yeah. I was like, that's not cool, man. And whatever.
Yeah. I am totally with that. And, I play totally, I buy the books in tournament play. No picking up discs, no flipping discs. You know, no snow marks if it's a tournament, but casual play, as long as you're not getting an advantage, I don't care.
Right.
I throw funsies.
Tags is tags.
Andy, Josh, any thoughts?
I would say right away that, sorry guys, tournament, you can't give putts.
Yeah, no gimmies. I missed a 4-footer, there's no gimmies.
Oh, yeah.
On Friday.
I can miss anything.
Then again, if it's the Senior Beach Classic.
If women are nicer than men, have you experienced that in like women's play?
I've had it come up at a doubles tournament that was sanctioned where someone just picked up the disc and walked away. And I did point out to them that you have to mark it because it's PDGA and we all have to play by the same rules.
Mm. Yeah, you gotta put it in the basket.
I'm not sure if you can stroke somebody for picking up someone else's disc. But if it's a tournament, you say it. If it's PDGA sanctioned, you say something immediately. That would be my point of view.
You know, or any putt in a tournament is double the size of a regular putt. So even a 2-footer is still, Candy, what hole? You got 2, 4, or 6?
Just go through them, 2.
Two.
I wanted to do an initial update on the top 10 disc cap tags.
Top 10 disc cap tags were seeded at first tracks.
Yes.
Give me 2 seconds, I can get there.
All right, so the initial... Do you, Kenji, do you know who ended up with the one tag last year?
I think Forrester kept it.
So he did? Okay, cool.
Yeah, Forrester kept it.
So this is after... no other rounds that you know of have been done?
No other rounds that I know of have been done, just the one.
All right. Number 10, we got Dave Searle?
Dave Searle, yep.
Searle.
New guy.
Oh, nice. That makes me feel so much better. Number 9, Jeff Wychowski. Number 8, Josh Weinstock. Dave Hudson at number 7. Josh Wynn at 6. Greg Kurtz at 5. Hudson Valley Disc Golf Podcast alum, Jason Lasasso at 4. Jamin Hume, 3. Joe Giscolco, 2. And Tim Giardini, number 1. Kenji, what's the biggest surprise on that top 10 list?
The Dave Searle guy. I've only met him once.
That's like a laundry list of pain in the ass guys for Team Wedge.
Yeah, that's the most of the team players there on one of the two teams at some point between Stony Kill or our team.
All right. Well, we'll keep up.
I'm not doing any team challenges here. I stepped away. It's kind of nice.
All right. That was hole 2. Like I said, we'll keep up with that throughout the year. That's the first one. Hole 4 or 6.
How about 4?
Hole 4.
I was working on hole 4 FDR today.
Did you make it to midnight on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, and well beyond.
Really?
Same here. I also made it well past midnight.
All right.
Zoom calling, you know?
Nice. What about Candy? Were you guys were up late? Or
my mother-in-law and my wife were in bed by like 10:30, and I celebrated by myself. I made it till like, I'm always up a little bit. I was up till like, I don't know, 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Nice. Andy and Josh?
I barely made it. I forced myself to stay awake. I gave Josh a call, and I was dead asleep shortly after.
I think I was up till about 4 in the morning playing a zombie game on my PlayStation.
Oh, nice. My wife said, oh, give me, you know, you can wake me up and give me a kiss at midnight. Literally, it's, you know, it just happened like within the last 5 seconds, and she stirred and flipped over. So I was like, ooh, she, you're awake. And I got right in her face, and she opened her eyes, and she went, ah! It screamed so loud, it scared the shit out of
them. That's mortifying, yeah.
So that's well, exactly what I did 10 seconds after the New Year's. Scared the crap out of my wife.
All right. Well, the other part I highlighted was there's a new Q&A. So, Andy, I'll ask this to you. It's as a trivia question just for fun. After throwing and picking up my marker, I realized that I want to abandon the throw. Can I still do that even though the lie is no longer marked?
You want to abandon the throw that you just threw?
Yeah. So I throw it. And you have to throw
from your last one.
What's that?
You have to throw from your last throw. Which would be, you'd be basically rethrowing the same shot you just threw, right? I just want to make sure I understand.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yep. So am I, even though I picked up my marker, can I then decide if I can abandon and go back?
I believe that you can, and that it is up to your card to approximate exactly where your disc was, but I'm not 100% sure on that one.
Well, I'll give you the answer I have here. It says yes. Just have your group agree on an approximate lie from which the abandoned throw was made and play from there.
Perfect. Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Because sometimes you don't. It's very rare that abandoned throw is beneficial. And I presume you'd really want to see where the disc went before you made that decision. Yeah, like if you missed a short putt and it rolled downhill 100 feet away, those are the only spots where I think those may be beneficial.
If it rolls down and then it goes into the water too.
Well, then it's you're already getting the OB stroke, exactly. Not the abandoned throw. You should choose to throw from the previous lie. But I'm specifically talking about that abandoned throw. Very rarely is that beneficial.
No.
I've used it once.
Most people use that out of anger.
For that exact scenario where my disc rolled off of essentially a cliff and was at the bottom of a ravine, so.
Right. You think it's going to take you more than two to get back. It's beneficial to just take it from where you were. Mm-hmm.
Did anybody else have any updates or any on the updates? Any?
That was the only two updates? Was that one scorecard thing in the Q&A?
There's something about smoking, and I had it up earlier. Those are the only two of note that I thought were of consequence. Because talking about, you know.
They do the whole red highlight and strike through things again?
Yeah.
I didn't peek at it yet.
No, that's all good.
We lost Pat.
We lose Pat? No. Uh-oh. It's grayed out on my screen.
Didn't this happen last time?
Yeah.
We have to wait for him to come back?
Yep. Oh, he'll come back.
How's everybody doing? Talk amongst
yourselves.
Where's everyone playing this weekend, if they're playing?
Probably. I think we're playing FDR this weekend with Eric Brummett. I'm not sure when he's coming up.
Oh, nice. I just saw him at Warwick weekend. He was there with Ray and Brad and someone else.
Was there snow on the ground there?
No, it wasn't bad at all, actually. It was kind of, it got busy when we left, when we finished. I only played one round, but it was actually pretty nice, all things considered. That was before that snow came through. I think I'm hitting Greystone for the first time this weekend.
Sure.
I have not played there.
I've heard good things. I have not played either. I've heard it's It's pretty good. So
looking forward to it.
We have a pretty big ledge. We have a pretty big wedge contingent going to Ledgestone. There's about 10 or 20 of us, I think.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So it's I'm all geared up to like start training for that. I'm gonna do Maple Hill in April. And
when's Ledgestone?
Well, it's in August.
August.
The first weekend of August. So I think Gary Mason's going out, a bunch of the younger guys.
So Ledgestone?
Yeah. Gary signed up. He said Derek Stoltenberg's going, myself, Angelo.
It's a long drive.
I think. Yeah. My sister lives in Davenport, Iowa, which is about 2 hours away. So I'm going to turn it into a trip.
Very nice.
I would.
How long is that drive?
13 hours.
Yeah.
I think I would fly.
Me too. That's what I think. Me and fly.
Hit the van out there. Set up home base somewhere.
It'd be fun just to hit courses along the way.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I get that.
I think Idlewild's right after that.
Are you doing that with you?
In Kentucky, right?
Does anybody have any idea what the score is?
38-59.
Yeah, okay.
Because you went for that 2-point conversion and you missed it. Yeah,
blew that one. I think it's I don't know why that's ringing a bell. Doesn't that sound like a movie or something where at the end you go, okay, and you just make up the score at the end?